and welcome, folks. Good to have you here at St. Andrew Presbyterian Church. We are truly grateful to be able to share this time with you. I must admit, I do miss you. It is a different experience being able to share worship in an empty building. And part of what makes St. Andrew truly special, what makes us the ability to enjoy awesome, is you all. And that's why this is just a building without you. Yes, it's a church. But it's you who make this truly special. And so I look forward to the time in which we can get back together and we can share in this incredible moment of worship. Remember, folks, we do this together. We share and worship together, and we're looking forward to the time in which we can be the church in the church, if you get it. Hey, we as Presbyterians, we share together in a creed each and every week. And so today, I'd like to share in a creed that is scriptural. It's Psalm 103, verses 1 through 8. So, if you're at home, well, I'm sure you are, but if you have your Bible with you at home, go ahead and find that. As you're finding it, we're going to read the first 8 verses. This is a Psalm of David. David wrote this. Now, I like the fact that in the midst of very difficult times, there we have an opportunity to celebrate God's goodness towards us. Okay, so thank you, assistant. All right, now we're going to share together in the scripture. We're going to read the first 8 verses. In the middle of all that's going on, what do we do about acknowledging God? And that's what these verses share with us. And so, starting with verse 1, here's our creedal statement for today. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits. God, who forgives our iniquities, who heals all our diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works vindication and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Folks, this is our creedal statement for today. Realize in the midst of what you're going through in life, God is there. Let's not forget what God's already done for us and with us, because in the midst of this crisis, God is here. Hey, by the way, I read that with my new glasses. Yay. Let's go to God in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the incredible way our lives have been touched by you. We bring you, we ask you, you're already here, but we ask you to have a full awareness in our hearts that you are present here. And even though we can't be here, we still are the church. Even though we can't be together, we still are your people. And so we pray, Lord God, for the incredible way that we can show this to the world, that in the midst of all of this, we can show our faith in you. Thank you for Jesus. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Folks, it's now time for our children's message. So we're going to make our way over to the children's message. Hey, by the way, I've got some new friends today. We're blessed today to have 3 separate generations of, like, stuffed toys or animals at our house. Over here, Raggedy, Andy, and Ann. That's what my wife had when she was a little girl. Over here is Bert and Ernie, and this is what our twins, Kevin and Brian, got when they were little boys. And here is what our grandkids have. This is Dr. Acceptance. We're grateful to have a doctor in the house. And, of course, Elsa. You know, even famous celebrities go to church, and we're grateful for that. Hey, the children's sermon is all about the 1 great hour sharing. Every one of them has a box because they haven't been here before. If you have this at home, you continue to take the offering. If you did not get one because of the shutdown, you can put it in a bag. When you come back, we'll go ahead and receive that offering. On Easter Sunday, we're going to take this offering, the 1 great hour sharing offering. That is the 1 great hour Easter Sunday. And we're going to celebrate the fact that God's people who've been blessed with are able to touch those who do not have. The way this offering works is that if you feed a person, they're able to have food for one day. But if you teach them how to grow their food or fish for their food, you feed them for for a lifetime. And that's how this offering works. And so, friends, go ahead and take that offering during that time. By the way, today we're looking at the state, not the country, the state of California. All right, so anybody find California? I can find it. Okay, well, it's not on this map. You're right, Bert. It's over here, but it's not on the map. Okay, so what happened in California was the all those fires. And what happened with the fires was, you know, devastated people's lives. It burned crops, it burned homes. And so with this offering, it helps them to rebuild, to be able to rebuild their homes or their businesses or their lives. And so this offering goes to those who've been terribly touched by the fires. So for this week, we ask that you simply make a donation. Put in your box, thanking God for the home that you have. Saying, God, thank you for the way your life's been touched. Okay, now we're getting ready for prayer. But Bert, Bert's looking a little larger today. What's going on here? Oh, no, Bert. You weren't hiding toilet paper now, were you? Oh, that's okay, Bert. It's only one roll, as long as you didn't get a whole case of it. All right, let's go to God in prayer. Thank you, wonderful God, for the ability to touch those who are in need. And we're grateful that you've given to us so that we can give to others. May we remember that part of being the people of God is being generous. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks to my assistant here. She's making sure everything's perfectly in place. Our scripture for today comes from the letter Paul sent to the church of Philippi. And it's Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 8. And the sermon title is Joy in Times Such as These. Because it's really hard at times to be excited about all the restrictions we have. So turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. And there we find Paul in this last chapter of that letter, letting us know how to function in difficult times like these. As we're turning here, realize that this is Paul's most joyous letter. He really liked these people. They were kind of the crown of his achievement in terms of ministry. Okay, so here's the scripture. Beginning with verse 4 of chapter 4 of the book of Philippians. It goes like this. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think on these things. Let's take a moment to pray. Thank you, wonderful God, for these words of encouragement. Thank you for these words of uplift. May we, in this time, realize that we can follow this, that we can be your people, your church in this world. We bring this prayer to you all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hey, we're going to continue doing the normal and the abnormal of the today, because things are all upside down, certainly different than they were a month ago. So we're going to open with a joke. There was a man who had a girlfriend, and they were talking, and they were talking about their dreams and their hopes for what was yet to come. And the boyfriend was sharing about how he wanted to get a band together. And that was the way they would touch the world, as a band. And he was writing down the names of the people who would be in the band, when all of a sudden, his girlfriend just started getting so excited. And she said, thank you, yes, yes, yes. And she got on the phone and started calling her mom and her dad and everything. And the man was like, what just happened? Boyfriend's thinking, what just happened? He's running down through what he just said. And here's what he actually said. As he's running down the list of those in the band, he was naming names. First name was Will, and then the girlfriend, you. And then it was Mary, and then of course he was saying himself, me. And when he put the four together, he said, will you marry me? Of which the girlfriend then said, yes, yes, yes. I hope you realize laughter is one of the important things we can do in this day and time to kind of keep our spirits up. The Apostle Paul actually said the response to the world situation of which he was in and which we're in now isn't necessarily laughter, but it's joy. He gave us joy that can be found in this assuring statement. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Be anxious for nothing." I must say, that's been easier said than done, has it not? I mean, we've had closures. You can't go out to your favorite restaurant. We're in the midst of a pandemic. There's the fear of economic collapse, not only of individual businesses, but of our whole society. Our world is gripped in this virus. And it appears also as a grip on our lives. Be anxious for nothing. Oh boy, is that easier said than done. There's fear that our loved ones may get it and not survive it. There's the fear that I have to stay in my house. And the concern that I don't have hardly any human contact, if any at all. As one on Facebook, a friend of mine on Facebook wrote, "What a year this week has been." How true. It feels like this week has been a full year. Yet Paul wrote, "Be anxious for nothing." Is Paul being like that Bobby McFerrin song? Remember that song? Here's the lyrics. Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry. Be happy. In every life, we have some trouble. But when you worry, you make it double. Don't worry. Be happy. And so the song suggests to scripture people, I'll get through it somehow. You have the ability to make yourself happy. Folks, that's not what Paul was writing. Paul knew that on our own, life is hard and very scary and difficult. That's why people lie at the foot of it. Bert, you keep from doing that, okay? But Paul didn't simply say, be anxious for nothing, and then moved on. Paul gave us ways in which we can deal with this great stress. Realize that Paul also was under great stress. Paul was in jail at the time. And well, that's how he wrote in the first chapter, in verse 13 of chapter 1. He said he was in chains. And what he meant was he was in prison. And this prison actually could mean that he might move on to death. That this prison may actually mean he would die from this. But what did Paul say? He wrote to this church, "Be anxious for nothing." Now consider, what would you do if you were under house arrest awaiting your fate? Hey, we're under house bound right now. We're practicing our social distancing. But Paul's social distancing, his arrest, his incarceration, his jail time, he didn't write, "Hey, be fearful for all." He wrote, "Be anxious for nothing." And then he gave us the reason why. He gave us how not to be anxious. Let me give you the whole quote again. "Be anxious for nothing, but." Now that word "but" is a critical word. What "but," that word "but" means is what coming next is really most important. What came before is underneath what's coming next. And so really what's coming secondary is the authority and primary over what he just said. So the whole quote goes like this: "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." What Paul is saying, to deal with our anxiety, we connect to the source of calm. To deal with our anxiety, we have to connect to someone superior to what is making us anxious. We have to go to God. And we have to go in prayer. The power of prayer is, we who are finite are connecting with the infinite. We who are human and fallible are connecting with the infallible and the divine. We who can only see this far, this is why prayer is so important, we can only see this far, we're
We're connecting to God who can see the whole scope of history from the beginning all the way to the end, even though we don't know what it looks like. God knows that already. And so Paul is saying, in your anxious moments, go to God in prayer. In your anxious moments, go to God with your needs. In your time, when you feel like you're about ready to fall apart, go to God, and it's God who brings the calm and the peace into our lives. And then Paul tells us, in the middle of all this, as we're praying, we're to be grateful. Now, from a psychological viewpoint, from a spiritual viewpoint, gratitude is powerful. See, gratitude opens our heart. It opens our heart to go beyond the situation we find ourselves in. It opens our heart to be able to connect to the one of which we are grateful, to God. When we're grateful, we open our minds to a greater reality, the reality that God is still on the throne. When we're grateful, we're opening ourselves up to the greater reality that humans are important, and we need to love them, even in the midst of where I feel like I'm so scared. And we reach out in love. Now, is this hard? You bet it is. We humans aren't built for this. We humans want to just flow through life. But it's something that's so powerful. Interestingly enough, this month, book club, the daytime book club, read a book, Pollyanna. And they met at Panera hours before our government shut down our restaurants. And in the book, Pollyanna, it talks about a little girl who sees life from a grateful viewpoint. And we've kind of downplayed that as a society. In fact, the word Pollyanna means like someone who has a fanciful view of life and not grounded in reality. Truth of the matter is, when we look at life from a grateful viewpoint, from the idea of Thanksgiving, we have a greater reality we're looking at because we've invited God into our thoughts and our prayers and our hearts. And so the end result of all this, of being Pollyanna in the world around us, of thinking glad thoughts and seeing the goodness in every situation, is that we're saying, God, I want you to be part of my daily thoughts, of my hourly emotions, of my minute-by-minute opportunity to live in this world. So what can we be grateful for at this time? Well, first and foremost, grateful that we live in an age of medical technology in which we are finding, we're looking for a source, an answer to this virus that exists before us. We live in a day of incredible technology, period. We're connected as the church because of technology. Without this, we wouldn't be able to do this. And I'd just be sending letters to you all. And so we live in an incredible age for this to have happened. We're also grateful for the many people who keep us safe, for our military to keep our borders safe, and for those who keep us safe within our country, our doctors, our nurses, our hospital staff. We're grateful for those who run into burning buildings to help us and those who keep us safe on the highways, for our fire and ambulance and police and our EMTs. We're grateful for all of them because in this time, we realize we need them desperately. We're grateful for those who drive trucks. Hey folks, that's not the easiest profession, but what a gift they are. They're the ones bringing all the supplies to where we live, to our grocery stores. We're grateful for those who stock the shelves at the grocery stores. Without them, it would be like last Friday. There was no sauerkraut on the shelves last Friday. I was in fearful, and I realized it's back in the meat counter. But we're grateful for people who stock the shelves and wait on us and are very patient because it is really so much more work for them. So let's approach life from an attitude of gratitude that guards our heart against fear. Realize this is a biblical response. Joseph of the Old Testament, all the things that bad happened to him, sold by his brothers into slavery, falsely accused by the soldier, the captain of the guard, thrown into jail. And what does Joseph do? He thanks God for it. Because God was working a greater plan, of which God did, and then saved the nation of Israel. The Apostle Paul, when he was in the jail cell, he was thanking God for all of this. Because in the middle of all this, God strengthens us. Paul's the one who wrote, as we unload our burdens onto God, as we share all this with God, that we get a peace that passes all understanding, a peace that guards our heart and guards our mind, all in Christ Jesus. See, attitude is the key to how we approach what we're doing right now, a grateful attitude. It guards us so that we can function in the world today. Then the Apostle Paul gave us a second tool to use, and that's the tool of joy. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. That's the first verse that I shared with you, verse 4. And here, we find that when we say, joy is found in Jesus, that transforms our lives. You know, joy is not in our situation we're in. Joy is not in the way in which we have to change our lives. Joy is in the one who has spanned the scope of history, who died for us so that we could live. Joy is found in the one who loves us so deeply, he'll get us through this. So we can rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Because when we give credit to God for getting us through, he gives us greater hope. When we give rest our hearts in Jesus, in our Savior, he gives us greater strength. And when we go to God and say, God, all of this, I don't know how it's going to end up, but I'm trusting you, God gives us greater calm. As we go through this, realize that the Apostle Paul then said one last thing. He said, let your gentle spirit be known to all human beings. The Lord is near. It's really easy during this time to get upset. I admit it, it's real easy to do that. But we're called to have a gentle spirit. God's right here with us. So those who don't get social distancing, calmly explain it to them. Those whose lives have been disrupted and are upset, patiently listen to them. For the times in which we've been concerned, faithfully lift it to God. Realize this will end. The key is how do we act in the midst of it, in the middle of it. Let me give you a little history of just this month. The first Sunday of this month, we had youth time to go gather here, and our youth gave great messages. And we had skit. The skit was done by our very talented Woods brothers. And the skit basically said, how you function in this world is a direct result of the spiritual disciplines you apply, of prayer and worship and giving of your heart, your mind, your soul, your resources. And when you do the spiritual disciplines, the end result is God goes deeper. You're inviting God deeper into your heart. The week after that, we talked about Jesus' temptation in the wilderness. That's a testing time, a time in which Jesus had to face his greatest fears, his greatest temptations. And that's where we're at right now, folks. Let's take the example of our youth and practice our spiritual disciplines. Let's take the example of our Savior and practice our scriptural reading so we can go deeper in who we are as we connect more closely onto God. During all of this, let's be the encourager. Let people see what it means to be the church. I want you to share once again Paul's words again. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Folks, since Thanksgiving, I've challenged you to make every Thursday a thankful Thursday. Let's continue to do that. Let's announce on Facebook and to those we meet, I'm grateful for. And by the way, the challenge is continuing to do that. What are we grateful for? I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for Jesus. I'm grateful for the staff who come here, our director of Christian Ed. She's been doing all the exciting things with you. And then we have EW recording the service to send it out to you as you make requests for it. I'm grateful for the way in which our lives have been touched by our Savior. In all of this, remember, be safe as you stay in God's grace. Let's go to God in prayer. Thank you, amazing God, for the incredible way our lives have been touched by you. We thank you for those who are currently in pain. We pray for a friend, Liz, who's near the end of her life. We pray for those who are mourning the loss of loved ones. Pray for a friend, Sue, who's lost a brother. We pray, Lord God, for caregivers who have to be there with those and watch as people are in pain and suffering. We pray for our government officials, Lord. We lift them to you. May their decisions be wise. May we, Lord God, be supportive. We praise you, Lord God, for all those who keep us safe, whether it be from the problems outside our borders or the problems inside our borders. We want to thank you. Thank you for our military, for our police, our fire, the EMT, for the hospital, for all the nurses and doctors who attend to us. And thank you for our truckers who bring fresh things to us, for people who grow, our farmers. We thank you, Lord God. We praise you for those who stop shouts and are patient as the lines are long and sometimes people are not very kind. Lord, we pray your presence in our hearts so that we may be the light in this darkness. We may be the salt, the flavor of this earth. We may be your people. We thank you for the incredible ways our lives have been touched by you, all through Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. And now may the peace that goes beyond human comprehension be yours now and forever. Amen. Until next week, folks, be safe and stay in God's grace.